Jimmy Connors may be America's greatest tennis player. Arthur Ashe may be its most influential. They couldn't stand each other.
Ashe really disliked anyone who had a kind of braggadocio, anyone who preened himself in the way that Connors did.
That's University of South Florida professor and historian Raymond Arsenault.
He just wasn't one to attack anyone. He always gave everybody the benefit of the doubt. But as a member of his family told me once, the only person that he really didn't like on the tour was Jimmy Connors.
One was brilliant but craven, the other a quiet revolutionary with a powerful sense of patriotism. Here's Only a Game's Gary Wallach on Arthur Ashe's clash with his greatest nemesis, one that unfolded on and off the court.
The quarrel between Jimmy Connors and Arthur Ashe probably began with the Davis Cup, the annual international team tennis event that dates back to 1900. According to Raymond Arsenault, their attitudes towards playing on the U.S. team were diametrically opposed.
I think Ashe, it meant a tremendous amount to him because it affirmed his notion of self-worth, that he was a citizen, a proud citizen, and that he was respected enough to represent his nation.
Ashe was the first African-American to represent the U.S. in Davis Cup competition. He had played on the U.S. team in 8 different years by the time Jimmy Connors was dominating men's tennis in the mid-70s. But Connors refused to join the team. This irritated Ashe.
He could never understand why Connors didn't share any of that sentiment, that it didn't mean anything to him. If he didn't make money out of it, he didn't seem to want to do it.
In June of 1974, Arthur Ashe was elected president of the Association of Tennis Professionals, a new governing body created to represent the interests of male tennis players.
Well, there had never been anything remotely like a tennis players' union, and the national federations around the world and tennis promoters were really making all of the decisions, and the players felt that they were left out, that they needed a voice.
Connors refused to join the ATP. Instead, he kept playing as a member of World Team Tennis, or WTT. In 1974, WTT filed a $10 million lawsuit against ATP executives and a major sponsor of the European Grand Slam events for barring WTT players. Just hours before Ashe's election as president of the ATP, Connors and his agent joined that lawsuit. Ashe was infuriated, so he wrote a letter
to the members of the ATP in which he described Connors as brash, arrogant, and unpatriotic.
The letter became public. On June 21, 1975, just 2 days before Wimbledon's first round began, Connors and his agent filed another lawsuit. This time, it was for libel, and it named Ashe and his letter specifically. Connors and his agent sought $3 million in damages. Ashe was fighting in and on more than one court.
Wimbledon was really special to him.
The 32-year-old Ashe had dreamed of winning Wimbledon since he was a young kid.
And I think he pretty much knew this was his last chance.
But Ashe also knew that might be wishful thinking. Jimmy Connors, 9 years his junior, had won the 1974 Australian and U.S. Opens and was the reigning Wimbledon champ. He started the 1975 season by winning 9 of the tournaments he entered.
He dominated in a way that few players have ever dominated. He was thought to be unbeatable, invincible, really.
Ashe knew there'd be a good chance he'd have to go through Connors to capture a Wimbledon title. In mid-June of 1975, Ashe and Connors competed at the Nottingham Open, a pre-Wimbledon warm-up tournament. Both lost in the quarterfinals. In a post-tournament press conference, Connors said that he had been just a little bit off his game.
But in the future, he would just crush his opponents. And to be honest, almost all of the journalists covering Wimbledon thought he was correct. But that statement just stuck in Arthur's craw.
Ashe kept his anger to himself, for a little while anyway.
He filed it away.
When play at Wimbledon got underway, Arthur Ashe and Jimmy Connors were in opposite brackets. They breezed by their opponents. Connors didn't lose a single set. Ashe dispatched Tony Roach in the semis on July 3rd and sat in the stands to watch Connors play Roscoe Tanner.
Roscoe Tanner had the fastest serve in tennis. And every time he would hit these scorching serves or ground strokes, Connors would hit it back 10 miles an hour faster.
Advantage, Connors.
When Arthur saw this, he thought, oh, wow. If Roscoe can't out-hit him, then really no one could.
Connors defeated Tanner in straight sets. But while watching them, Ash got an idea. What if he didn't try to out-hit Connors?
Don't give him any pace. Just constantly take it off chip and lob, just drive him crazy, hit low to his forehand volley, and that might conceivably work.
On the morning of July 5th, 1975, Jimmy Connors was the overwhelming favorite to defeat Arthur Ashe. When they took center court, Connors' gamesmanship was obvious.
He had an Italian designer's outfit on.
But Ashe made a fashion statement of his own.
Arthur is wearing the Davis Cup sweatshirt, blue with red letters saying USA. And it was a kind of reminder that Connors had let his country down and let his fellow players down. I mean, that wasn't like Arthur to play those kind of mind games, but this may have been one of the times when he did.
It was also unlike Ashe to play a strictly chip and lob game.
He killed him with kindness, with the slow ball, with the spins.
Love 15.
And I wonder if Connors lost his head a bit there. I think the Ashe ball would have floated out.
Don't give him any pace, and you'll drive him crazy.
Game and first set.
I mean, he won the first set 6-1. Connors wasn't even in it. And Connors hardly won a point in the second set. The crowd is just stunned. No one thought this was remotely possible.
Down 2-0, Connors came back to win the third.
Well, here goes. Connors is going to come back, and he's going to win 3 straight sets. And this fantasy of Ashes is going to be over.
In the fourth set, it looked like Connors would even the match at 2 sets apiece. But Ashe abandoned the chip and lob and reverted to his usual array of topspin backhands and well-placed forehands to build a 5-4 lead in the fourth set.
40-15.
So 2 championship points for Arthur Ashe.
He turned to the crowd, and before shaking Connors' hand, he raised his right arm and made a fist. Some interpreters thought that he was doing a Black Power salute. He said no, that he had no intention of that. But this was a moment, I think, it would have meant so much to him that he impulsively raised his arm.
Ashe had fulfilled his lifelong dream. In doing so, he had become the first Black man to win a Wimbledon singles title. After the match, Ashe, still angry at Connors' lawsuits, stepped out of character again and suggested that his opponent had choked.
That just drove Connors crazy when he heard that. Billie Jean King, you know, she won Wimbledon in 75, and by tradition, the two singles winners danced the first dance at the Wimbledon ball. Jimmy Connors, he said he'd come only if he could have the first dance, meaning he could be treated like the winner. And when he knew he couldn't be, he didn't show up.
2 days after the Wimbledon final, Ashe reverted to his usual sportsmanlike self. He described Connors as a nice guy and the best tennis player in the world. A few days after that, Connors dropped the suit against Ashe.
And so I think it's probably a credit to Jimmy Connors that he did have enough common sense and decency to drop the suit.
A lot was riding on the 1975 Wimbledon men's final. The clash of personalities, the right of players to represent themselves, the right of governing bodies to determine who can play in what tournaments. But Arthur Ashe raised his game accordingly.
I think that he realized he was on the biggest stage in tennis. He felt he was representing the ATP and that Connors was a threat to them. He wanted to make a moral statement as well as win the tournament. For many years, it was considered the greatest upset in Wimbledon history. I think it's one of the great milestones in modern tennis.
Arthur Ashe is still the only Black Wimbledon men's singles champion.
That's Only a Game's Gary Wallach. Raymond Arsenault's new book is Arthur Ashe, A Life.